Hello, everyone. My name is Yunqi Zhang from University of Michigan. Today, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about our work on harvesting spare computation and storage resources from large-scale data centers using historical information. This is a collaborative work with my co-authors from EPFL, Microsoft, and Microsoft Research. So if we take a look at the data centers we have nowadays, they are extremely massive in size and also expensive to operate. However, a lot of these data centers are actually over-provisioned in their resources in terms of both computation and storage. That is for a number of reasons. First of all, a lot of the interactive services we run in these data centers, such as social network, web search, require extremely low tail latency. And to deliver such low tail latency, we have to over-provision resources based on to handle peak load, as well as unexpected load spikes and failures. As a result, a lot of these data centers actually have really low latency, sometimes as low as 30%, as reported by Google. And this underutilization wastes a significant amount of money because you spend majority of your money on these data centers on the capital cost of purchasing server and building these data centers. A technique proposed by prior work to address this problem is to enable co-location of batch processing applications and interactive services. By giving low priority to these batch processing applications, you can still guarantee that the interactive services can deliver its quality of service target. And along this line of research, there are work looking at the cluster level where they want to identify the safe co-location pairs that improve the data center efficiency, but still can make sure that the interactive services can perform at low latency. Additionally, there are also work looking at the server level where they use performance isolation techniques, such as cache partitioning, to fine-grain control the amount of interference generated by these batch processing applications. However, we observe there are still a number of critical challenges that are overlooked by prior work. First of all, the interactive services simply own the servers, and they don't actually declare their resource demand to the batch processing application, which means there's absolutely no guarantee how much resources will be available to these batch processing applications. And in fact, the interactive services might even decide to wipe out the entire disk if they needed to. Secondly, prior work relies on the current utilization of these interactive services to provision resources for these batch processing applications. As a result, if the utilization and load of the interactive services increases over time, we may no longer have enough resource to complete a task on the batch processing application. If this happens, we might have to kill the batch processing application, therefore wasting all the cycles and resources we have already spent on these batch processing applications. And thirdly, a lot of these batch processing applications relies on high quantity of data to operate. And accessing such large quantity of data over the network remotely is simply too slow. Ideally, we want to move this data to the same set of servers that we actually run these batch processing applications. However, this introduces new challenges. First of all, again, if the utilization of the interactive services increases, we may not have enough resources on this server to serve the accesses to the stored data block. And furthermore, if the service owner of the interactive services decide to wipe out the entire disk to deploy a new version of the software system, we might also permanently lose the data blocks that we stored there. And what makes matters even worse is that these batch processing applications are often highly distributed across hundreds and potentially thousands of servers. Slowing down individual tasks can result in huge performance degradation on the entire batch processing job. Therefore, we set up our goal for this project to be able to improve the efficiency of these data centers without sacrificing the quality of service target for these interactive services. And to do so, we want to minimize the probability that we have to kill these batch processing tasks, and also want to maximize the probability that we have the stored data being available and durable all the time. So let's first take a look at the batch scheduling problem. As I mentioned before, the prior work relies on the current utilization of these interactive services to provision resources for the batch processing application. And as a result, if the utilization of the interactive services increases over time, we might have to kill the batch processing application to protect the interactive service. So we were left wondering if we can learn anything from history. that we can leverage help us better schedule these batch processing tasks to avoid such task killing. And in fact, we actually identified three interesting consistent patterns among 10 production data centers that we have at Microsoft, as we show here. So here, we show the three server utilization patterns that we identified throughout the month. So as you can see, the first utilization pattern here clearly shows a diurnal pattern, where the utilization peaks during the middle of the day and drops down during the nighttime. And we refer this type of server as a server that has a periodic pattern. And the second utilization trace we show here has relatively stable utilization throughout the month, which we refer as a constant server class. And last one doesn't have any clear pattern, so we call them unpredictable server class. And to identify these three different patterns automatically, we rely on Fourier transform to transform the original time series into the frequency domain, because in the frequency domain, it's easier to identify periodic patterns. So once we have the time series in the frequency domain, as we can see here, the periodic server class shows a clear spike at 31, which indicates there is a daily pattern that repeats every single day. Whereas the constant server class have approximately constant signal strength throughout the entire spectrum. And the unpredictable server class shows a decreasing trend as the frequency increases. So once we can identify these different server utilization patterns, now we can leverage them to schedule the batch processing application. So we first rely on the historical execution of these batch processing applications to classify them into long, medium, and short-running jobs. When a long-running job arrives at the system, our system would prefer to schedule them on the constant server class, because these servers are more likely to have the provisioned resources available for a long time. And we also, to be conservative, we also provision resources based on the current utilization of the server and its historical peak utilization to make sure that the provisioned resources will be available for a long time. And for a medium-sized job, our scheduler would prefer to schedule them onto those periodic server class. And we provision resources based on the current utilization and its historical average utilization. And here, the intuition is similar. We also want to make sure the provision resources will be available for a while. And when a short job arrives at the system, we simply schedule them to preferably on these unpredictable server classes and using the server's current utilization, because these jobs are short-living, so they don't actually demand the resources being available for a long time. By doing so, we basically increase the probability of having the provisioned resources being available throughout the lifetime of the batch processing job, therefore reducing the probability that we have to kill these batch processing jobs to protect the interactive services. And secondly, let's take a look at the data storage collocation problem, how we can enable data storage collocation. The first challenge we have to overcome is what we refer as the data availability. These batch processing applications often rely on some kind of distributed file system to place data blocks. And in such system, a single data block is often replicated for a number of times to provide the redundancy. However, if all the replicas of the same data blocks are placed to co-locate with the same interactive services, when the utilization of the same interactive services increases, we may not have enough resources on all these three servers to serve the accesses to the data block. Therefore, we have the data blocks being temporarily unavailable. As you can see here, a simple improvement of the placement algorithm might be to place the replicas of the same data block to co-locate with servers that have diverse patterns in their utilization. And the second challenge is what we call a data durability challenge. Similarly, if we place all replicas of the same data block to co-locate with the same interactive services, if the service owner decides to roll out a new version of the software system by wiping out the entire disk, then we might permanently lose the data blocks that we stored there. And similarly, again, we can apply the same logic, where if we can co-locate the replicas of the same data block to co-locate with servers with diverse patterns in their re-imaging rate, then it's less likely for all these three servers to get reimaged at the same time. And to deliver both diversity at the same time, we simply plot all our servers in our data center into a two-dimensional space, where one dimension is the peak utilization of the server, which represents the data availability, and the other dimension is the disk reimaging rate of the server, which represents the data durability. Now we partition this two-dimensional space into a 3x3 grid. Now, if we need to place three replicas of the same data block, we place the first replica to the server that generates the data. And then we block out the same column and same row to prevent placing additional replicas to two servers that have similar pattern. And then we place the second replica to one of the remaining four areas. And then again, we block out the same row and the same column. By doing so, we distribute all three replicas of the same data block into environments that have diversity in both data durability and data availability. And by doing so, we improve the probability of having at least one replica being available and durable all the time. And to implement our system, we first build a clustering service that runs once a while to extract the interesting utilization and reimaging patterns that we leverage in our scheduling and placement algorithm. Then we chose to extend popular open source system to implement the rest of our stack. Specifically, we extend Yarn to protect the interactive services by killing the batch tags when they're affecting the performance of these interactive services. And then we extend Apache Test to implement our history-based batch test scheduling algorithm, and we extend HDFS to implement our history-based replicate placement algorithm. In addition, we also extend HDFS to protect the interactive services by denying data accesses when allowing such accesses will degrade the interactive services. And to evaluate our system, we first deploy the entire system onto a 100 server cluster, and we use Apache Lucene to replay the utilization traces that we extract from production data center to represent the interactive services. And then we use TPC DS queries on Hive to represent the batch processing application. Furthermore, we also performed larger scale simulation using traces that we extract from 10 large production data centers at Microsoft, and we simulate full data centers for an entire month. And also, we have deployed our data replica placement algorithm into production environment onto thousands of machines, and we also include some of the result from that. So let's take a look at the real system experiments we did to evaluate our batch task scheduling algorithm. Here we show the job duration of the batch processing application on y-axis, and the x-axis is the job ID. The first purple line shown here represents the job duration of the batch processing application when we simply enable co-location without worrying about the performance of the interactive services. Note that this significantly hurts the performance of the interactive service, which is not acceptable. And so once we start to kill batch processing applications to protect these interactive services, we can observe a significant performance degradation in these batch processing applications. And by using our smart scheduling algorithm, we can improve this average job duration by about 21% on average. And we also observe even bigger improvement in our larger scale simulation, where we show on the y-axis the average job duration improvement, and the x-axis shows the 10 data centers that we simulated for an entire month. Here, as you can see, our algorithm can improve the job duration by up to 90% and 32% on average. So next, let's take a look at our replica placement algorithm. So on the y-axis here, we show the percentage of data blocks that we lost over time, and x-axis is the same, the 10 data centers that we simulate. First of all, when the stock HDFS system and our system are both given three replicas to place, as you can see here, our system can improve the data durability by at least two orders of magnitude. What's even more interesting here is that our system can actually deliver higher data durability when we're given one less replica to place, therefore save significant amount of disk space. And when our system are given four replicas to place, we simply eliminate all the data losses for these 10 data centers that we simulated. We have also deployed our data replica placement algorithm onto thousands of production machines for almost a year. And so far, we eliminated all data losses except for several minor bugs we had to fix, and also when the system does not have enough diversity in the data availability and data durability, which is one of the interesting lessons that we learned from this production deployment. Initially, our system would still place the data blocks, even if there's not enough diversity in those two dimensions to improve the utilization on the disk space. However, this resulted in a couple losses of the data blocks. And to address that, we now prioritize the placement diversity over the disk space utilization for data blocks that have high durability requirement. And secondly, synchronous operations are inadequate when the required resources are no longer guaranteed to be available. Even simple operations such as heartbeats in Apache Yarn can fail if the demanded computation resource is no longer guaranteed to be available, resulting in undesirable system behavior. And to address this, we change all the heartbeats operations in Hadoop Yarn to be asynchronous instead. And thirdly, simplicity is extremely critical for production system, and we had to simplify our algorithm for a number of iterations to make it easier for deployment and maintenance. There are more of these interesting lessons that we learned from the production deployment in the paper, and I would highly encourage you to check it out. And in summary, in this paper, we present a history-based resource harvesting technique that better understands the resource utilization dynamics and enables data storage collocation for these complex data analytics that are distributed across hundreds and thousands of servers. By using our technique, we can significantly improve the data center efficiency, and our technique has been partially deployed onto production systems on thousands of machines, and a lot of the changes we made to these open source systems have also been contributed back to the open source community. With that, I'd like to answer any questions that you might have, and thank you for your time.
Saurabh Bakshi from Purdue. So how would you handle the case when the resource utilizations of your processes are multidimensional? So I believe you looked at the CPU utilization.
Mm-hmm.
And if you relax the assumption that your long jobs have constant utilization, how would you handle it?
So just to make sure I understand your question, so your first question is, what about other resources other than CPU, right? So in this paper, we focus mostly on CPU and memory, but you can imagine applying the same logic to other type of resources, such as network, I/O. I think that's like by far in this paper, we specifically focus on these two resources, but you can imagine doing the same for the other type of resources. And to, just to make it clear about the sort of the constant utilization business about the long-running jobs, so we prefer to run these long-running batch processing applications to co-locate with servers that have constant utilization over time. We're not assuming these batch processing applications, they themselves have constant utilization, right? So as long as the interactive services have relatively stable utilization over time, it's more likely for these batch processing applications to get the resources they need to complete their task.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.